This is most certainly true. In the greatest act of selfless mercy, God sent his own son into our world to die for your sins. And we can't stop talking about it. We now present this sermon, recently delivered at Grace, to you.
The only way to have life is to remain connected to the vine. Christ Jesus, our Lord. These words will serve as the basis for today's sermon, the Gospel according to John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is pretty clear on who's who in this relationship. But the branches out there and the branches in here suffer from a pretty serious identity crisis. I think I'm the vine. I've got this. So self-assured, so self-empowered, so self-driven, so self-satisfied. I've got this, but I absolutely do not. Jesus said, "Remain in me." But my sinful nature thinks that can all wait for a little while as I run to make all sorts of connections with the thrills and frills of this world, the kinds of things that will only leave you withered up, dried out, and disconnected. Jesus said, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Because of our sins, that is exactly what we deserve. So what now? Well, the branches out there and the branches in here, you know, the ones suffering from that identity crisis, have some ideas about this too. Well, you heard what Jesus said, didn't you, about branches that don't bear fruit, they get hacked off and burned up. So I guess the answer is, bear fruit. Be fruitful. Look for your fruit. Chart your progress. Boast in your success. Compare how many grapes you have to how many grapes she has or they have. And it's a tempting thing to do, really, to this whole fruit comparison and fruit checking game. And it can serve to boost your morale, if only for a time, until it all comes crashing down, when a familiar temptation comes calling, or your guilt from the past is overwhelming. So what then? What will you do when you look at your life and you're looking to find fruit as you think you should see it, but you come up kind of empty? What will you do when it's your heart and your mind that can condemn you so convincingly that you are a dead, dry, disconnected branch that is fit only for the fires of hell? What will you do? Oh my. Remember that you are not the vine. And listen again to Jesus' gracious invitation. Remain in me. If there was ever a time for self-regarding and very rational-sounding fears, it was the night when Jesus spoke the words of John chapter 15. In the upper room discourse, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and you read through those chapters of John's gospel and you will have no trouble discerning what Jesus is aiming at. I'm going away. This is the night before he dies. I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't come. Not yet. I'm leaving you. But I'll remain with you. Where I'm going, you can't come, but I'll come back and get you so that you can be where I am also. What do you say on a night like that? As he's scanning that candle-lit upper room and looking into tear-filled eyes and hurting and confused faces of his disciples, what words can you reach for? What picture could you use? Well, the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples make a powerful point of this particular promise, that not even death could sever the connection that Jesus has with his people. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What a strange way to talk. The night before he dies, Jesus speaks of life, both his life and his disciples' lives. Why? Because the cross of Calvary would not be the end of Jesus' story. Neither would the empty tomb of Easter be the end of Jesus' story. Instead, here Christ makes a promise of life that is truly life as he lives for and he lives in his people. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. On the night before he dies, Jesus talks about life. Because Jesus does, in fact, live, not as some far-off abstraction. But do you see what he's saying here? He almost seems to say a little bit too much, doesn't he? Just as surely as Jesus lives and rules over all things at the right hand of his Father, just as surely as the risen and ascended Lord Christ fills the whole world, just as surely, by virtue of his promise here, does he live within you too. In the upper room that night, Jesus was preparing his disciples, not just for his death, not just for his resurrection, but for his life, that he lives forever for his people and in his people. And the picture he used was so strikingly simple, but infinitely profound. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Again, we come back to this issue of fruit. You read the gospel from John 15 for today, and you can't come away with any other understanding other than that Jesus is interested in having fruitful branches. 7 times in 8 verses, he mentions this thought about fruit or fruitfulness. And what's more, let's say that a branch connected to him is fruitful. What happens then? Every branch that does bear fruit, my Father prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Have you ever seen a shrub or a bush that was recently pruned and fertilized? It can be kind of an ugly-looking business. Hacked back practically to the trunk, scant foliage and shorn branches with manure piled up at the roots. This pruning business smarts, and sometimes it kind of stinks. So it goes for branches who are connected to the genuine vine named Jesus. The pruning of the good vine dresser, the Father, can sometimes be painful, but it is always purposeful. The good vine dresser, your Father, knows what's best for you, dear branch connected to the vine. And so he'll remove all those fine-looking suckers that look nice, but really would only serve to sap your strength and steal your vitality. The good vine dresser, your Father in heaven, knows how given you are to the temptation to try to make all the wrong connections in life that you think are going to bring you fulfillment and fruitfulness, but those things make you no promises. And so he axes all the dead wood that tempts us to put our focus in all the wrong places. His pruning can be painful, but it is always purposeful. Severing the connection to the things that hold us too tightly to this world. Until we finally see it, that we're emptied of ourselves, and Christ really is everything. Yes, fruit is what Jesus is after from his branches. 7 times in 8 verses he mentions it. So you're going to need both hands to carry all the fruit that Jesus is expecting from his branches. But you're going to need an even bigger basket to hold on to the how of Jesus goes to work to make this happen within you. 8 times in 8 verses, Jesus mentions this notion of remaining in him. Yes, he expects fruit, but he doesn't leave us hanging out on a limb wondering how that happens. Instead, he gives the invitation, remain in me. Oh, there it is. Jesus cures our identity crisis, and he sets us straight. Your fruitfulness is not due to your branchiness, you know, how nice of a branch you are, or anything you could find within yourself to drum up. Your fruitfulness is not due to your branchiness, but to your connectedness to the vine named Jesus. And that's where he wants you to stay. So that's why he says it. Remain in me. It can be really easy to beat people over the head with these words of Jesus. Hey, you heard what Jesus said. Remain in me. So, well, you better remain in Jesus. You better figure out a way to remain in him. But is that what Jesus is driving at? Think of it. By definition, pardon the grammar here, you can't remain somewhere you're not already at. So if I told you all today, remain in your cars, that wouldn't make any sense because you're not in your car. But if I say remain in your pew, wow, now that one clicks because that's exactly where you are. So when Jesus invites you saying remain in me, he's not trying to get you to solve some mystery as to how that happens. But instead is showing you that to remain in him is to receive all that he has to give. When Christ makes you a promise, he's not inviting you into some kind of, pun intended, fruitless speculation about who you could be in this whole picture. No, he's telling you who you are, and he's telling you where you are in him. On the night before he dies, Jesus shared with his disciples, and now he shares with us, not a whole lot of information about fruit, but about the source of our one and only transformation as we're connected to him like a branch in the vine, a branch that bears his fruit. So what is it, this fruit we keep talking about? We're familiar with the imagery that Jesus uses here, but let's try this another way. Think about the picture. The vine is a person. The branches are people. So could it be that the fruit is human too? I think there's something to this. Especially if we zip ahead a few verses in John chapter 15 when Jesus kind of rounds out this whole vine and branches talk. To borrow a verse from next Sunday's gospel, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Or more literally, fruit that remains. You know, the very thing that we get to do in Jesus? Remain. So what is it? What is it, this fruit that will last? What is the fruit that remains that's produced by our connection to the vine named Jesus? I'm not suggesting that we take the traditional interpretation of these verses and toss them in the compost bin, but I am wondering, if we need to think about this in just a little bit of a more nuanced way. The vine is a person. The branches are people. Could it be that the fruit is human too? I do think it is truly meet, right, and salutary that we talk about the fruits of the Spirit that are shown forth in our lives as Christians, connected to the vine named Jesus, animated by the Holy Spirit of God, as the Spirit goes to work to produce his particular fruits in our lives that are aimed in the direction of our neighbor. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here's the thing. Those good works are only good because they're forgiven too. And when you get right down to it, not even the most merciful work aimed in the direction of your neighbor has eternal staying power. But what does have eternal staying power is your word of witness. A word that breaks into the sinner's self-made prison to announce life and light and freedom. A promise that echoes from an empty tomb to deliver exactly what it says. I forgive you. What does have eternal staying power to be fruit that lasts is a Spirit-freighted message that binds another branch to the true vine named Jesus and works through them to bring forth the fruits he desires. Fruits that will last. Not just here on earth, but forever, seeing the face of God. Speaking of seeing the face of God, 3 days after Easter last month, my own father fell asleep in Jesus and woke up in heaven. And on behalf of my mom and my whole family, thank you for your love and support. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it means the world to us. But that's not why I mention it. He was a husband to one, a father to 14, and a pastor in Christ's church for nearly 50 years. That's intersecting with a whole lot of lives. And so it was fascinating for me to hear the kinds of things that people said at the funeral. You know, some people we hadn't seen or heard from in years. You know, one guy came up with tears streaming down his face, and he said, "Pastor Sharp was my pastor, and he still is." Another guy came up to, I think, my mom and said, "Your husband meant so much to me. He taught me about Jesus. He gave me my confirmation verse, and I got it tattooed on my chest." Now, my dad didn't care much for tattoos, but I think he would have been okay with that one. "My sheep listen to my voice." And it hit me this last week. That's the fruit that lasts. Not because tattoos don't wash off easy. That's the fruit that lasts. As the promise of Jesus, the living and life-giving promise of Jesus, is dropped from one sinner's lips and lands in another sinner's ears. A word that remains in you to deliver exactly what it says. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Yes, even you. Baptized, gospeled, absolved, bodied, blooded, the Holy Spirit lives within you to produce his fruits, fruits that will last." So this morning, I'm going to suggest that maybe it's fitting for us to speak in both ways about this. You can't bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to heaven, because those Spirit-wrought virtues are already fully realized and perfectly accomplished there. You can't bring that to heaven, but you can bring people. And that's kind of the point. So in the end, it really wasn't about my dad at all, any more than it's about you or me. It's all about Jesus and the life he lives within his people to produce his fruit, fruit that lasts. Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe you don't have 14 kids. Maybe you aren't married to anyone, and it doesn't matter. Here's why. No matter who you are, dear believer in Jesus, no matter who you are to others, no matter the number of intersecting lives with your own, whether very high or very low, it matters not, and here's why. because the very same life of Christ lives and remains within you. Just as life and strength flow from a vine out into its branches, so flows into you the very life of your Savior. And what is that life? It's his salvation that he has won for you. It's his righteousness with which he clothes you. It's his eternal life, which he brought about by his death and with his resurrection has called you out of the darkness of unbelief into his wonderful light. And now Jesus says it, remain in me, because that is exactly where you are. Watered in holy baptism. Pruned and cleansed in holy absolution. Fed and nourished in his holy supper. The entirety of your existence as a branch connected to the true vine could be summarized like this. You are cleansed. You are fed. You are forgiven. You are cleansed, you are fed, you are forgiven. Cleansed, fed, forgiven. Cleansed, fed, forgiven, and freed. And now Christ Jesus can get some use out of you. With your love to a neighbor who doesn't seem to deserve it. With your joy that is never diminished by your circumstances. With his peace that lives within you that passes all understanding. With your patience during impatient times. With your kindness to the other, with your goodness in the face of evil, with your gentleness and self-control in a wild and self-indulgent time. And above all, as you live and move and have your being as a branch connected to the true vine named Jesus, you live out there in a world filled with dead, dried up, disconnected sticks and twigs who are looking for something, anything, in vain, that'll bring them life, and here you are. The one to show them life that is truly life as a branch connected to the vine. And so, a clean and cleansed branch produces fruit, fruit that will last. He's the vine. You're the branch. Let's not twist those around. His life moves in you. His power works through you. And so what now? His fruit grows from you. Jesus said, remain in me, because you are connected to him. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support this ministry, please visit gracedowntown.org today. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.